cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo, lo trabajas hablando. Y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que la agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Found Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello again, welcome, good morning, Tuesday morning, it's a Tuesday morning, welcome to Richard Vaughan Live and welcome to a new English class. Today we're going to work hard on English. We're not going to give up. I'm never going to give up. I shall never surrender. I will never give up. I'll never throw in the towel. I will continue teaching Spanish people English until the judgment day. Hasta el día del juicio final, se dice el día del juicio. Until the judgment day, the day of reckoning. So, shall we begin? How do you translate the following sentence? Ya vienen. Ya vienen. Ya vienen. Okay. Several ways, but probably the most common is they're on their way. They're on their way. Que ya vienen. They're on their way. They have already left, but they haven't arrived yet. So they are on their way. I'm not on my way, and you're not on your way, and he's not on her way, and his way, and she's not on her way, and we're not on our way. They're on their way. They are on their way. Pronunciación. They're on their way. Ya vienen. They're on their way. Well, what time should we expect them? Well, when they arrive. Yeah, but when are they going to get here? I don't know. They'll get here in 10 minutes. They left 10 minutes ago. How do you know they left 10 minutes ago? Because I called them. Who did you call? I called Jenny. Did she answer? Yeah. And what did she say? Well, what did you ask her? I asked her if they were still at home. And she said, no, we just left. We're on our way. We're on our way. And so, I can assure you that they're on their way. If they weren't on their way, they would still be at home. Or they would be here already. All right. Another sentence. Te alcanzaré. No, tú sigue andando. Ya te alcanzaré. I'll catch up with you. Or I'll catch up to you. Both are correct. I'll catch up to you. I'll catch up with you. I'll catch up. Yes. Listen, I need to make a telephone call. You keep walking. And I'll catch up. Are you going to use the usual route? Walking in the park? Are you going to walk along the usual paths? If that's the case, then I'll find you. I'll catch up with you. I need to make a phone call. 5 minutes. I'm going to sit down on this bench. In the parks, they have benches. Benches. I remember many years ago there was a problem in the public parks because people were stealing the benches. Yes. And so there was a period in which the city hall chained the benches to a tree or to the ground. Now I don't know how they do it. I think the benches are cemented inside the ground because people steal them. Can you believe it? Stealing benches. And I remember in a little park near where I used to live called Parque Calero, they put out the city hall, built a nice outdoor amphitheater in the park, in Parque Calero. And people started to destroy it. And so the municipal district had to build a big fence around it to protect it, because people would start destroying it. But at the same time, they built a mini playhouse or a mini theater, and people destroyed it in 3 days because it was made of wood. Para hacer leña, I don't know why, but very destructive. And that was when my children were little. And I remember my daughter, she liked that little theater. But within 3 or 4 days, it was totally destroyed. I guess the vandals came at night, teenagers, and started destroying it. I don't know. All right, telecanferé. I'm going to sit down on the park bench. I'm going to make a telephone call. And then I'll find you. I'll catch up. I'll catch up with you. Wherever you go, I know your route. And if I change, well, don't change today, okay? I'll catch up. Creo que te va a gustar. I think you're going to like it. How do you know? Well, I'm pretty sure about your tastes. And so I think you're going to like it. What is it? It's, semi-black rice. It's what? Semi-black rice. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. I'm telling you, I have ordered semi-black rice. Semi-black rice. How do they say that in Spanish? Arroz semi-negro. What's that? Well, I know that you like arroz negro, you know, the Mediterranean rice dish. I know that's your favorite type of rice. And so in this restaurant, they have an additional offer, which is, they call it semi-black. And it's a mixture of white rice and black rice. It's really, really good. I want you to try it. Creo que te va a gustar. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to like it. I think you are. I think you're. ¿Cómo se dice una cura? De curar algo. Cure. Escucha el enlace fonético aquí. I think you are going to like it. I think you're. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to like it. Creo que lo vas a amar. O sea, decimos lo vas a apreciar. I think you're going to like it. So, arroz semi-negro. Now, that's a good one. I've never heard of that one. Really? You've never heard of that? Well, let's check and see. Let's see. Arroz semi-negro. Let's see. Here it is. Arroz semi-negro, 15 recetas caseras. There we have it. And you can see pictures of it if you're interested. But Richard, how do you know these things? Oh, I'm old. I've been around. Where have you been? I said I've been around. Ha sido redondo. No. I've been round. No. I've been around. What does that mean? The expression I've been around means he estado en muchos sitios y he experimentado muchas cosas en la vida. I've been from here to Peoria and back. There's an expression. I can't remember in English. There's an expression. Let's see. Expression. Maybe I can find it. Expression. I've been around. I've been from someplace to someplace, and I can't remember what it is. Yes. I don't remember. and I don't know how to find it. But I've been around. You remember the Beach Boys? Round, round, get around. I get around. I get around is me muevo por ahí. In that case, Los Angeles. I've been around. That means I have a lot of life experience. Experiencia vitalicia. And so, of course, I've seen arroz seminegro. I've seen it many times. I mean, well, how many paellas or rice dishes do you eat per year? I don't know, maybe 20, 30 per year. More now than before, because rice dishes have become quite popular. And I like the Italian type of rice. I like rice in general. And, of course, Spain makes very good rice. And so I've tried it. I like arroz negro very, very much. So, creo que te va a gustar. I think you're going to like it. So, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to like it. Okay. Perdone, tengo una duda, profe. Perdone, tengo una duda. Excuse me. I have a question. Remember, in these cases, never say doubt. ¿Existe Dios o no existe? Tengo dudas. I have doubts. En ese caso, sí. Doubt is no creer del todo. No estar seguro de si crees o no. That's to doubt. I have certain doubts. But if the professor or the teacher is explaining something and you don't understand completely, or you're not sure about something, you say, you have a question? Si tenéis cualquier duda, no dudéis en hacérmelo saber. If you have any doubts, no, perdón, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. Para eso estoy aquí. Para eso estoy, se diría aquí. Para eso estoy. Pero en inglés hay que añadir aquí o allí. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to answer your questions. Yes. I'm invited quite often to give talks to different groups. I don't charge for it. Unless they are charging themselves. So if I'm in a production input, yes. But otherwise, no. And so sometimes they invite me. I remember once they invited me to give a talk, and I said, what do you want me to give the talk about? What do you want me to give the talk about? And the person said, no, just come. We're going to ask you questions. Oh, that's easy. And because I've never been asked a question that I couldn't easily answer. I've never been asked in the past 30 years. Now, when I was 16, yes, because I was less mature and had less life experience. But in the past 30 years, I've never been asked a question that I couldn't answer very easily. And one of the answers is I don't know. If somebody asked me a question that I don't know how to answer, I said, I don't know how to answer that. And there are certain questions about my profession, about my activity, that I cannot answer because I really don't know. And so when you're very sure about something, because you have 46 years of experience doing it, I have 46 years of experience teaching English. I have about 3,000 hours of experience learning Spanish. And I have about 500 hours of experience learning French. And so I know a little bit about language acquisition from the teaching angle and from the learning angle. And I have taught children. I've taught Spanish speakers. I've taught French speaking people. I've taught German speaking people. So I have, and I've taught Chinese people. I've taught Moroccans. I was in ¿cómo se llama? Ifrane. I was in Ifrane. Very, very pretty. I've spoken about this before. But Ifrane, escrito Ifrane, in Marruecos. I would recommend you write down Ifrane and go into Google Images and look at it. Parece un pueblo de juguete. Precioso. Just beautiful. Si, Fran. And you look at it, it says, wow. It's in the mountains. It's in the Alto Atlas, the northern section of the Atlas Mountains. It's very, very nice, Ifran. And I spent a week, well, I spent 5 days there with Mickey, Martin Mickey, with Mickey and with Siobhan. And we were teaching. And I taught Moroccan people. And I taught a group of five young men, maybe 30 years old, who didn't speak Arabic nor French. And they were three of the five, no, three of the, no, three of the six, there were six, were illiterate. And they worked, illiterate means analfabetos. And they worked in the fruit market and meat market in the center of Ifran. And so they didn't have formal education. And so when I was invited to Ifran to teach, I think the university people decided to give me personally a real challenge, because these six men had never studied a language in their life. They were about 30 years old. They were absolute beginners. They didn't know the word it or book or yes or no. They didn't know this. And I spent 5 days teaching them for 2 hours, 10 hours. And by the end of the week, they had reached unit 4 in the Vaughan method. And they were experts on the verb to be. And there is and there are. And they were absolutely ecstatic. They were really happy. That they couldn't believe they were learning to speak English. And, of course, I was not writing anything. One of them understood French. So if I wanted to explain something, because they spoke in Betty, they're Berber. They were speaking a language. And so, but they were ecstatic. They loved it. And so I know a lot about teaching and learning languages. And but there are certain things I can't answer. And if you ask me a certain question, I will say, I don't know. I don't know. What's the best age to start grammar? Well, in my opinion, the best age, in this case, I don't say I don't know, the best age to start studying English grammar is at the age of 13, which is usually the age of, at the end of the puberty period. Although some people pass through puberty earlier and some later. At the age of 13, 14, that's when English learners should be introduced to English grammar. Before that, no. They should hear the language and repeat the language, recite the language, but not study the language. You should not study English. Estudiar inglés. Yo le digo oír y recitar inglés. Eso sí. Durante todas las horas posibles. Before age 13. You must, it's very, very important not to see the language, not to allow the spelling of English words to destroy the joy of learning or to scare people. Los asusta. Well, maki. Is make. Okay. And so, no. From the time the child is born up to age 13, those first 13 years, should be only listening and speaking without any recourse to the written word. They must not see English. Remember, The objective is at age 23. That's when the young person enters the labor market. That's when it's essential to have un nivel C2 y punto, at the highest level possible, age 23. So when a baby is born, you have 23 years. And so the plan is the first 13, simple exposure, hearing the language as many hours as possible, and reciting simple English. It's on the table. I like paella. I come here every day. My name is Pedro. My father is Spanish. I speak Spanish. I like to travel. You know, they just say, but never sing these words. They don't need, before the age of 13, they don't need to understand what a personal pronoun, object pronoun, possessive pronouns. They don't need to understand these things. They simply need to say sentences with them. My book is mine. His book is his. Her book is hers. Our book is ours. And these silly sentences, reciting them like poems. Where is the tall man? Where is the short woman? And just saying these things, never seeing them. But starting at age 3, starting in infantil, primaria, antes de primaria, that's where they need to start. Creo que te va a gustar. I think you're going to like it. Perdón, tengo una duda. Excuse me, I have a question. Ya es hora. No, ya es hora. It's time. Así de sencillo. Que ya es hora. It's time. Ya es hora para qué? O ya es hora de qué? It's time for what? It's time for what? Ahora, si alguien llega tarde, ya es hora, macho, ya es hora. O se diría aquí, probablemente ya es hora. En este caso, no, it's about time. Ya es hora. This expression in Spanish has two interpretations, depending on the context, of course, but depending on the intonation. Ya es hora de que publiquen un libro así. Ya es hora que se haga algo así. That, in this case, it's about time. Y luego usamos el pasado en inglés. Ya es hora de que hagan algo así. Decimos, it's about time they did something like that. It's about time they did something like that. Although in some parts of the United States you can hear it's about time they do something like that. Ya es hora de que hagan algo. Ahora dicen, no, ya es hora. It's time. It's time for what? It's time to finish. Well, wait a minute. Richard still has 3 minutes left. True, I still have 3 minutes left. So hold your horses. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. Sé lo que quieres. I know what you want. I know what you want. Ahora un nativo diría, I know what you. What you. I know what you want. La T de what? Enlazando con la E de you. You. What you. Chewing gum. I know what you want. You know what I want? Yes, I know what you want. How do you know what I want? Because you always want chewing gum. That's what you want. Chewing gum. When was the last time you chewed gum, Richard? Let's see. I don't remember. I think the last time I chewed gum was maybe 3 months ago. When was the last time you bought chewing gum? The last time I bought chewing gum, my God, was maybe when I was 15. I don't chew gum very often. I like it. I like chewing gum, but when I was a little boy, I bought a lot of chewing gum. Bubble gum, se decía, bubble gum de hacer pompas. Because there were, it was included with baseball cards and football cards. Los cromos de jugadores de baseball. Baseball cards. I have over, I had over 700 baseball cards. Some of them are probably valuable because they're a collector's item. But I think my nephews took them because those baseball cards were in my parents' house. And I don't think my mother would throw away all those baseball cards. But between the age of six and or five and ten, I probably collected 700 baseball cards. That's 700 little pieces of bubble gum, bazooka gum, bafoca. Bazooka was my favorite. Yes. I remember in Bertram, Texas, where my grandparents lived, the man in the store, I always said, can I have some bazooka gum? And I always took pieces of bazooka gum. And Benny, the man there, he put it on the bill. And one time my grandmother said, Ricky, you chew a lot of bazooka gum. Because she got the bill. And there were maybe, you know, 80 cents of bazooka gum. So, chewing gum. Yes, I know what you want. Sé lo que quieres. I know what you want. Well, what is that? You want to take a break.
Okay, now, tell me when to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more. Ask me if I care.
Did you care?
No, 20 more.
Come on.
Ahora, más oportunidades. Sigue entrenando tu inglés con tu mejor entrenador, un profesor Vaughan. ¿Por qué no aprovechas también ahora la hora de comer para poner en forma tu inglés? Apúntate a un curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. Seguro que siempre has querido probar el famoso método Vaughan, pero no hay un centro Vaughan en tu ciudad. ¡Voilà! Aquí tenemos la solución ideal para ti. El método Vaughan en una clase por videoconferencia, con los profesores mejor formados para subir un peldaño tu nivel de inglés. Disfruta de todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan ahora en videoconferencia y en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Nuestra avanzada tecnología permite que nuestras clases por videoconferencia tengan la misma velocidad e intensidad que una clase en el aula. En tan solo un par de clics podrás acceder a la plataforma y empezar tu clase. Y recuerda, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿A qué esperas? Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/clases videoconferencia. Fácil, cómodo y muy eficaz. Sigue poniendo en forma tu inglés.
Aprovecha el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resuelve tu viejo problema con el inglés de manera definitiva. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Sí, dígame.
Pedro, this is Siobhan, your Vaughan teacher. Welcome to your telephone class.
Oh, hello, Siobhan. How are you doing today?
I'm great. So let's begin by reviewing the present perfect. Have you ever been to China?
No, I haven't.
¿No tienes tiempo de ir a clase? ¿Quieres que tu profesor Vaughan te dé clases por teléfono cuando mejor te venga? Entonces te va a gustar mucho nuestro nuevo programa de clases telefónicas de Vaughan. Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Yo en mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad.
Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes, como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad.
Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa.
No estás como en una clase típica cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo, lo trabajas hablando. Y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que la agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Found Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello again, welcome back. Okay, our second half hour. What day is today? Well, today is Tuesday. What's the weather like? It's okay, the weather's okay. What time is it? You ask a lot of questions. You want to know the time. Yes, I want to know the time. Oh, why do you want to know the time? Because I need to know the time. Why do you need to know the time? Well, because I can't do things properly if I'm not aware of the time. Okay, so you want to be... ¿Quieres estar al corriente? Al tanto de la hora. You want to be aware of the time? Well, it's... Are you ready? It's 8:01 in the morning. Wow, that's early. Why am I up so early? Because why are you up so early? Why are you up so early? ¿Qué significa up so? Up so? Yo no he dicho up so. See? Has dicho up so. Has dicho, why am I up so early? Oh, excuse me, you're not saying up so. You're saying up so. Why am I up so early? ¿Por qué estoy tan levantado tan temprano, tan pronto? ¿Por qué estoy levantado? Fuera de la cama. Why am I up? Why am I? Am I? Am I? Mi amiga Maya. Hola, Maya. Am I? Why am I? Why am I up so early? Why am I up so early? You're up so early because you want to listen to my radio show. Really? And why is that? Oh, what's the matter? Have you lost your memory? Yeah. I fell down last night, and when I went to bed, I couldn't remember anything. Not even my own name. Well, who are you, by the way? I don't know. I'm suffering acute amnesia, so I don't know who I am, but I'm listening to your radio show, and I don't know who I am. You don't know who you are? No, I don't know who I am. Well, if you don't know who you are, then do you want me to tell you who you are? Yeah, I want you to tell me who I am. Fíjate, I am, you are. Well, first, ask the direct question. Well, what do you mean? If you want to know who you are, ask me who you are. Well, fine. I want to know who I am. That's not a question. That's an affirmation. Well, can't you tell me who I am? Can't you tell me? No me puedes decir quién soy. Can't you? Chufla. Can't you? Menchu. Mi amiga Menchu. Y mi amiga Canchu. Y otra amiga Don't You. Don't you know who you are? No sabes quién eres. Don't you. La tim de don't más la I de you. Se enlacen con haciendo che. Don't you know? Can't you? Can't you tell me who I am? Can't you? Don't you? Didn't you? Couldn't you? Won't you? Y mi amiga, ¿mint you? Todos, ¿mint you? Can't you tell me who I am? Well, of course I can tell you who I am. I'll tell you who you are if you ask me who you are. Well, then, tell me who I am. That's not a question. What do you mean it's not a question? That's an imperative. You're giving me an order. You're saying, tell me who I am. That's a bit direct. Ask me a question. A direct question, huh? That's right. Who am I? Oh, very good. Now, who am I? In this case, we put the verb to be before the subject I. Who am I? Who are you? Yes, who am I? You're my student. Yeah, but what's my name? I don't know what your name is. Verbo al final. I don't know what your name is. If I knew what your name was, I would tell you. Si supiera cómo te llamabas, o cómo te llamas, pero si, para ser correcto gramaticalmente, si supiera cómo te llamabas, te lo diría. If I knew what your name was, I would tell you, but I don't know what your name is. If you tell me what your name is, then I can tell you who you are. Well, that's an easy one. All right. Who am I? You're a student. Now, you're listening to me at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's not 8 o'clock anymore. Well, it was 8 o'clock when we started this conversation. No, it wasn't. It was 8:01. All right. Well, what time is it now? Now it's 8:05. Well, I think we're wasting a lot of time with this silly conversation, so shall we start? Well, if you tell me who I am... Well, I can't help you on that. I'm sorry. All right, but let's start the course, the class. Are you ready? Yes. Se lo preguntaré a él. I'll ask him. Se lo preguntaré a ella. I'll ask her. ¿De dónde es ella? Ella es de Alaska. She's from Alaska. I'll ask her if she's from Alaska. I'll ask him if he's from Alaska. Oye, María es de Alaska. El estado de Alaska. I don't know. Pregúntaselo. Ask her. Ya, se lo preguntaré. I'll ask her. And what will you ask her? I'll ask her if she's from Alaska. Oh. And him? Is he from Alaska too? I don't know if he's from Alaska or not. Well, ask him. All right, I'll ask him if he's from Alaska. Okay. I've never been to Alaska, by the way. Have you? No. Well, what's the capital of Alaska? The capital is Juneau. Juneau? Juneau. That's the Roman goddess. That's Jupiter's wife, right? Yes, that is true in Roman mythology. Jupiter is the king of the gods in the Roman version of Greek mythology. And his wife's name is Juno. How do you spell it? Juno. J-U-N-O. Juno. Juno. Yes. Juno. Yeah, that's in mythology. En la mitología romana, Juno era un dios equivalente a la Hera, con H, Hera griega. Dios del matrimonio y reina de los dioses. Esposa de Júpiter, Juno. And that's the capital of Alaska. Yes and no. What do you mean by yes and no? I mean, is Juno the capital of Alaska? Yes, it is. So it's like the Roman goddess. Yes and no. Okay, you're getting me all mixed up. Why yes and no? Well, because the spelling is different. Well, how do you spell Juno? Which? The Roman goddess. J-U-N-O. Juno. The month of June is named after her, I believe. The month of June is named after her. Okay, I think, but I'm not sure. It seems logical. All right. And how do you spell Juno, the capital of the capital of Alaska. Well, you spell it J-U-N-E-A-U. E-A-U, yes. Juno. So it's a French word. Well, it looks French to me. Yeah. I mean, if it's similar to toro. Toro, you mean a bull. Well, in Spanish, yeah, toro. Oh, excuse me, I don't get the connection. Juno is spelled J-U-N-E-A-U. Huneau. Correct. But it's similar to toro. No, it's not. Toro is T-O-R-O. Yes, but in French, no. Well, how do you say bull in French? Toro? How do you spell it? I think it's T-A-U-R-E-A-U. You're kidding me. No, no. T-A-U-R-E-A-U. Toro. 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 And toro. A toro, it's a bull. It's a bull. T-A-U-R-E-A-U. My God. Four letters in Spanish and seven letters in French. And four letters in English. Bull. Bull. Yes. So, but what's the connection? French, toro, the last three letters are the same as the last three letters in the capital of Alaska. My God, Richard, why do you get off on these such silly subjects and tangents? The capital of Alaska is Juneau. I've never heard of it. You've never heard of Juneau? No, I've never heard of it. I mean, Alaska. How many cities in Alaska are you familiar with? Me, I've never been to Alaska. But how many cities do you know? Oh, quite a few. Come on, name three. Three, well, Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks. Fairbanks. Yeah, Fairbanks. It's in the center of Alaska. Do you know any more? Yeah, I know two more. Barrow and Nome. Show you Nome. Nome. Although the spelling is different than a gnome. You see, a gnome, so you gnomo. Los gnomos del bosque se escribe gnome con G muda al principio. Gnome, gnome. But the city of Nome in Alaska doesn't have the G. It's Nome. N-O-M-E. Where is it? Nome. Nome is the city that is farthest west. It's very close to the Bering Strait. The Bering Strait separates Alaska from Siberia. And Nome is very close to the Bering Strait. And how did Nome become Nome became a city very quickly. Really? Yeah, it became a city very quickly. And why did it become a city very quickly? Nome, Alaska. Because they discovered oil. Yeah, they discovered oil near Nome. And so Nome quickly, overnight, became an important city. Really? Yeah. Nome. And what's the population of Nome? I have no idea. Do you expect me to know everything? Nome, Alaska. Well, let's find out. Nome, Alaska. Let's see. Nome, Alaska. Nome, Alaska. Population 3,900 people. Okay. In la zona del censo, 9,500. Okay. Nome. All right. Nome. Now, the history of Nome is the gold rush, La Fiebre del Oro. In the summer of 1898, the three lucky Swedes, los tres suecos afortunados, discovered gold on Anvil Creek, Riachuelo del Yunque, Anvil Creek. News of this, the discovery reached the outside world that winter. By 1899, the following year, Nome had a population of 10,000, and the area was organized as the Nome Mining District. Okay. And so a lot of people came. Of course, the gold rush. People are always looking for gold, fast ways to become rich. The gold rush. In Spanish, you say la fiebre, the gold fever. Se entiende muy bien. Casi lo prefiero al la expresión inglesa. The gold rush. Rush is las prisas a por el oro. And there was a movie made with John Wayne and Capucine. Yes, about Nome and the gold rush. John Wayne and who? Capucine. I spoke about Capucine about a year ago. Who is Capucine? Capucine. Como suena. Escríbelo en Google y saldrá. Capucine. A beautiful, beautiful woman. Beautiful. Although I think she committed suicide. She was gorgeous. She had a very special beauty. My type, let's say. And so, it's Capucine. Capucine. I think she was French, or maybe Italian. Let's see, Capucine. She was born in 1928. She was a French fashion model and actress. She was in The Pink Panther, What's New Pussycat, and a lot of films. But she committed suicide, I believe. On the 17th of March, 1990, at the age of 62, Capucine jumped to her death from her 8th-floor apartment in Lausanne, Switzerland, where she had lived for 28 years. She suffered from illness and depression. The police said an investigation left no doubt that she committed suicide. Neighbors said that she had led a reclusive life with her 3 cats, hardly ever leaving her apartment and spending most of her time reading. Okay. It's a pity. She was a beautiful woman. Very nice. A very good actress, too. I saw her in, I think, 2 movies only. The Seventh Dawn, in Espanol, El Séptimo Amanecer, será? I don't know. With William Holden. It takes place in Burma, I believe, Birmania. It's a war movie. Capucine, and then in the movie with John Wayne. It takes place in Nome. All right. And I don't remember the name of the movie in which she was with John Wayne. But I can find it. Murder, She Wrote, 80s and the 1980s, The Pink Panther, with Inspector Clouseau, but I can't find it. Capucine. ¿Por qué no viene aquí? I'll find it. North to Alaska. There it is. North to Alaska. And in Spanish, it's called North to Alaska. Alaska, Tierra de Oro. That was the name in Spain. In Latin America, it was called Furia in Alaska. Furia. Fury in Alaska. All right. But in any case, Capucine, what a beautiful woman. Although, as a model, sometimes she lost too much weight and looked too skinny, in my opinion. She was certainly an attractive person, attractive woman. Capucine. I was talking about Alaska. I was talking about Juneau, not about Nome. You asked me. Fíjate cómo me pediste. Que te nombrase 5 ciudades. Me pediste. You asked me. Me salto la K de ask. Descaradamente. Nunca la digo. Y yo creo que ningún nativo de habla inglesa lo pronuncia cuando dice pedido o pidió o pediste o preguntaste. Se lo pregunté, I asked him. Asked him. Se lo pregunté a ella. I asked her. Te lo pregunté a ti ayer. I asked you. You. Asked you. Asked you. Asked you. Nos saltamos la K. Asked. Es difícil decir asked you. No cuesta. I asked you. I asked you to come here yesterday, pero hay que hacer un pequeño esfuerzo. Asked you. I asked you. I asked him. I asked her. I asked him. So, Nome. Now, there's another city in Alaska. Well, city. It's a small community called Barrow. Barrow, Alaska. How do you spell it? Barrow. B-A-R-R-O-W. Barrow. Now, it's in the north. It's the community that's the farthest north in the United States. They've changed the name to an Eskimo name, Inuit. An Indian name. Utqiagvik. Okay. But it's Barrow. And what's the population of Barrow? 4,000 people, 4,500 people. Yeah. What's the temperature in the winter? What, the daily high or the daily low? Well, let's see, in January, the average high, la temperatura media, la temperatura más alta del día, media, in January is minus 7 degrees. And the average low is minus 19. All right. Well, excuse me. I'm speaking in Fahrenheit. Perdona. Estoy hablando en Fahrenheit. In Celsius or centígrados. The average high, say, a las 4 de la tarde, con sol. The average high is minus 22 degrees below zero. And the average low is 29 degrees below zero. All right. Which means, you know, it's not recommended to go out and try to get some sun. Not much vitamin D for the people in that area. So the record low, a record, is minus 53 centígrados, menos 53. That's in Barrow. Now, Juneau is the capital, is totally different. Because Juneau, Huneau, Juneau is located in the south on a peninsula, well, on a strange area of Alaska that's basically part of Canada. And the temperature is very mild in Juneau, very mild. So, it has a climate similar to the climate along the coast of Norway or along the coast of northern Spain, like Las Rías Altas or Rías Bajas. So it has a very nice... Juneau, now the capital of Juneau, excuse me, the capital, the population is 32,000 people. And that's the capital of the state of Alaska. The largest city is Anchorage. And the second largest city, I believe, is Fairbanks, Anchorage, Alaska. Let's see what the population of Anchorage is. The population of Anchorage is 200 and, well, the metropolitan area is 400,000 people. So it's pretty big. It's like Valladolid. It's pretty big. And Fairbanks, in the center of Alaska, is the population of Fairbanks is about 52,000 people. Metropolitan area, 100,000. It's cold up there, too. It really gets cold in Fairbanks. So now you know a lot about Alaska. I've never been to Alaska. And I'll probably never go. Sadly, I'm reaching an age in which I can predict with a high degree of certainty of places I will never visit. I'll never get around to it. I'll never get around to it. Nunca me llegará el momento de poder ir a Alaska. There are other places I would prefer. I would prefer to visit Argentina or Australia before visiting Alaska. Although Alaska is very beautiful. It's impressive. It's majestic. But it's very far away. But so is Argentina, and especially Australia. But I would like to go there first. And then going back, I'm not interested necessarily in visiting places I've never been to. I've never been to Vietnam. I would like to visit. I've never been to Japan. I'd like to go there as well. But it's not on my priority of list things to do. If I had to choose between going to Texas or to Florida or to the U.S. and going to Japan, I would go to the U.S. If they offered me free tickets, Richard, free tickets with 5-star hotels in Tokyo, Osaka, Yokohama, and Kobe, and I don't know, or free tickets to the United States, I would take the United States because I know it. I feel at home. It's a feeling that I'm home. Yeah, I'm coming home, I'm coming home. And so it's a feeling of relaxation and tranquility when I go back to Texas and I feel, or Oklahoma. I can feel it. I'm home. I'm not on foreign territory, even though I've been living in Spain all my life, basically. When I go back, the smell, the feeling, the humidity is just feels I'm home. I'll be right back.
Esto, lo que escuchas, es Vaughan Radio.
Sí, dígame.
Hi, Pedro, this
ahora
is
tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases-telefónicas.
Yo en mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad.
Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes, como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad.
Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa.
No estás como en una clase típica, cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo. Lo trabajas hablando, y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que tu agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los 2 Found Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído. Apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
Ahora, desde tu casa, una clase Vaughan. Por videoconferencia, infórmate llamando al 91-133-5833. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Nuestro curso online es único por una sencilla razón. Nuestros profesores son los mejores del mercado. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso, Richard Brown. Nuestros All Stars desde cualquier lugar. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día. Quédate en casa y aprovecha para poner en forma tu inglés. Entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinebaugan.com e infórmate. Pruébalo durante 2 semanas y si no te gusta, te devolvemos el dinero. cursodeinglesonlinebaugan.com, porque hay muchos, pero solo uno de Baugan.
¿Quieres clases de inglés o aprender inglés? Si quieres clases, pareceremos caros. Pero si quieres una solución de verdad, somos los más baratos. Es más, somos los únicos.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Baugan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase.